With a little bit about Eretz Yisrael, Kinyana de Yoima. The Gemara proves from the Psukim in Chumash that when the brothers were going to Egypt, it says Vayerda Achi Yosef Asor. When they came back from Egypt, Eretz Yisrael says Vayalum. So the Gemara proves that Eretz Yisrael Gavoy Mikol Harotz is based on that pasuk. And then the Gemara proves that Yerushalayim is Gavoy Mikol Eretz Yisrael based on the pasuk that says Yikipal Mincha Dovel HaMishpat. You should go to Yerushalayim and ask the Bez Nagodol in Yerushalayim what the halach is. So you see, so the problem is that it's absolutely not so. Eretz Yisrael is not the highest location above sea level. The Swiss Alps are higher. And Yerushalayim, the Gemara says that David HaMelech thought they should build the Beis HaMikdash in Ein Yitim because the highest location in Eretz Yisrael above sea level. What does the Gemara say? Yerushalayim is the highest level. The Gemara says it's not the highest level. So the Baal HaMo'or in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof Amud Beis, addresses this topic. And he interprets the whole Gemara. There's a difficult Gemara there in Rosh Hashanah, Chof Amud Beis. Rashi and Tosfos have a very strange pshat, but we don't know what they said. So the Baal HaMo'or has a very snazzy pshat. And Chazanish has the whole Kuntrus Yud Chef Shoes. But he shows that all the Rishonim, aside from Rashi and Taz, they all learn like the Baal HaMo'or. The Gemara is discussing there, where is the international dateline? When you keep on going east, so the Shkia is earlier. Shabbos keeps on getting earlier. When you go west, Shabbos is later. So you're going to have people coming further east. They're going to come to California. So that's going to be the earliest place that Shabbos is going to be. And we go to the west. So California is 3 hours. Shabbos being 3 hours later than in New York. But if you keep on going east, so Shabbos is going to begin so many hours, going to begin 21 hours earlier than New York. If you go west, it begins 3 hours later. So which is it? So you have to have an international dateline. You say, that's the beginning of all time. So where is the international dateline? So the Baal HaMo'or says, he learns the whole Gemara like that, that the Chachmei HaGemara assumed that Earth is a globe. And if you have a globe, there's always going to be an upper hemisphere and a lower hemisphere. So when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, what was on top? So we arbitrarily always visualize the North Pole is on top. You can just as well have the South Pole on top. You can just as well have New York on top. You can have whatever you want on top. You can visualize the globe however you want. So the Gemara says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Yerushalayim is on top. There was an upper hemisphere and a lower hemisphere. It's not that the cutoff point was the difference between the upper hemisphere and the lower hemisphere was the equator, but something other than the equator, that the upper hemisphere has Yerushalayim on the very top, and Eretz Yisrael on top. That's what it means, Gevoy Mikol HaRotzes, and Sheshes Mei Breshes, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that was on top. So when it's Chumash Vahiyeh Vahivoyke Yom Echod, Vahiyeh Vahivoyke Yom Sheni, and so on, it means that the first Tzeisa Kochavim was 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. If the earth is a globe and you have two hemispheres, say each hemisphere has 12 hours. So if Yerushalayim is on top, so the first place that is going to be Tzeisa Kochavim, Vayer Vayvek, is going to be 6 hours to the east. So that's what the Chazanish writes in his Kuntri Yud Cheshos, that the international dateline cuts through Korea, that's 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim, and it cuts through Australia. So then you have a further question. So you mean if you're on this side of the street in Korea, it's Erev Shabbos. On the other side of the street, it's Shabbos. It's 24 hours later. It's a day later. So the Chazanish thinks that it's a Samtaka all like that. Manchuria cuts through Korea, cuts through Manchuria, the southeastern tip of Asia. So Samtaka all this side of the street is Erev Shabbos, that side of the street is Shabbos. The Chazanish thinks that it makes more sense to say, he quotes some of the Rishonim say, Baal HaMo'or already doesn't talk about this, later Rishonim say, no, that if it's all one landmass, so it has to be the same day. So since the bulk of Europe, Asia, Africa, it's all one big continent, everything is connected. Since the bulk of all of that is to the west of the dateline, so even the southeastern tip of Asia also has the same day. And what about Australia? As it turns out, two-thirds of Australia is to the east of the dateline. Only one-third of Australia is to the west. So if you go Basarayv, You should really say that even the western tip of Australia, the western third of Australia, should be Nigra after the Rove. So the Chazon Ish assumed number one. His first assumption is based on this some Rishonim that has to be, if it's one landmass, it's going to be the same day of the week. And then he thinks number two, that it doesn't depend that the Miut is Nigra after the Rove. He thinks that the hemisphere that has Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, the upper hemisphere that has Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, that's the more important hemisphere. And the lower hemisphere, that's the less important hemisphere. So if part of Australia is to the west of the dateline, meaning it's in that hemisphere where Eretz Yisrael is, so that always wins. So there are those who dingzach, there are those who accept what the Chazon Ish said, that he adopts that position of those Rishonim, from the Yisrael Olam, that if you have one landmass, you can't say that it's one day of the week on one side of the street, the other day of the week on the other side. But they don't accept this part of what the Chazon Ish said, that if you have two-thirds of Australia to the east of the dateline, one-third to the west, that the whatever is in the hemisphere that has Eretz Yisrael is the more important hemisphere, and that always wins, even if the Rove of Australia is to the east. So the others are tiny, that all of Australia, the western part should have the same date as the eastern part. So Australia would be one of the last places to have Shabbos, not one of the first places. That's not the way they follow. They don't follow that opinion. They follow, and Australia always assumes one of the first places in the world to have Shabbos. The reason why they assume that is because they follow the Goyisha dateline, the Goyisha international dateline. The Goyisha international dateline was just drawn arbitrarily through the Pacific that it shouldn't shake anybody up. So they picked a location where there's no landmass, so you won't divide a body of land into two parts and say one side of the street is Friday, one side of the street is Shabbos. And then when they drew this line, Taka, even in the Pacific over there, you can't draw the line straight, so they had to make it crooked a little bit. So that's a little bit of that. The whole thing is just made up. The whole thing is man-made. So according to the Goyish International Dateline, so the dateline is all the way to the east of Australia. It's all the way to the east of all of Asia. It's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. But the Chazon Ish quotes from all the Rishonim. We don't accept that Goyish dateline. We hold that the Gemara says, Beferish, about that Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof and Beis, is assuming that the dateline is 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim.
How do the other Shitas
How did the other Shitas what?
How did the other Shitas deal with the Gemara?
Rashi and Tosfos a whole different pshat than the Gemara. Very doichik. Very, the Mamash, Rashi and Tosfos don't make any sense at all. Very doichik. The Balamor and Rabbi Yehuda Levi and the Kuzari and the other Rishonim, everybody else that talks about pshat says the Gemara is talking about the international date line. No, the Chazon Ish starts off his Kuntres Yutchev Shoes with a paragraph. He says, very sharp people who have a sharp mind tend to read a complicated essay, and they read the first five lines, and they think they got it, and then they don't read carefully the rest. So he says, some people, he means Rav Tkachinsky, are very brilliant. The Chazon Ish say, they say Chazon Ish was not so sharp. He accomplished what he accomplished because he plugged away all the time. I remember Rav Soloveitchik recommended that we should use the Chazon Ish because he doesn't think that we're so sharp. And they say the Chazon Ish was not so sharp. So he says, you'll see how by plugging away, you'll succeed in opening everything up. So he says, learn the Chazon Ish, that'll show you how to go. So the Chazon Ish says that the one whom he's disagreeing with, Rav Tkachinsky, apparently was very brilliant. So he read the first few lines in the Balamor and he misread it. And then he didn't read carefully the rest of the Balamor. If you read the Balamor slowly and carefully, it says Beferish what the Chazon Ish said. That's just a question how to read the Balamor. There are no two ways about it. The Chazon Ish's reading is absolutely correct. So Rav Tkachinsky read it that the international dateline is 12 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. Why? The Balamor is explaining how is Eretz Yisrael Gevoyim Mikol HaRotzes? How is Yerushalayim Gevoyim Mikol HaRotzes? Because his Sheshes made Bereshes. When the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, he held Yerushalayim on top. So the dateline is going to be 6 hours to the east, not 12 hours to the east. 12 hours to the east, so Yerushalayim is not on top, it was on the other side. The whole Balamor doesn't read straight.
According to the
Chazon Ish, what did he say?
It has to go according to over the landmass. So Korea is attached to the rest of Asia, so it has to be like
teaches there, but like Japan is
already. Right, Japan is separate. Japan is a separate.
Japan.
He writes, cuts according to the Hanan, it cuts through Korea, and the eastern, the southeastern tip of Asia should be Nigra after the rest of Asia. Yeah. So Eretz Yisrael already plays a role in Sheshes Mei Breishes. We assume that when Baruch Hu created the world, Eretz Yisrael was on top. Then according to the tradition in the Gemara, when the Mabul occurred, Mabul did not affect Eretz Yisrael. There were walls, but it was a miracle that the water didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. What, so it means all the people, all the animals that lived there itself didn't die. I don't know. The Gemara doesn't talk about it. Maybe the Midrashim talk about it. Apparently, Eretz Yisrael is a special Zgula location. The Mabul didn't affect it. And the Psukim say at the end of Parshas Noyach that Terach Avi Avraham, Avi Nachor, decided he's going to move to Eretz Yisrael. Why did he want to move to Eretz Yisrael? So I think the Sfarno says because the air was clearer. And everything was healthier because the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. The rest of the world was in an utter state of destruction for so many years after the Mabul. And Eretz Yisrael was in a beautiful condition. The air was not polluted. The Mefarshim HaChumash say he was searching for spirituality. And they all felt that Eretz Yisrael is a special location that has spirituality. Eretz Yisrael has certain schools. Look, there are certain locations in the world where the earth is such that it's good for planting grapes and you'll have good wine. In other places are good if people have asthma, so they go to certain locations. Other places are good for planting wheat and vegetables. Different places, different locations in the world, different zgulas. Eretz Yisrael has ruchnis diga zgulas, has a lot of teneret zgula, has a lot of milas that other parts of the world don't have. Next find, Eretz Yisrael plays a role. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu he should move to Eretz Yisrael, and then he tells him, "Kum hisalch ba'aretz la'orcha l'rochbo ki l'cho etinena." He should walk around the borders of Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him that he's going to give him Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara has a discussion in Perek Yishnochlen and Bava Basra. How do you translate ki l'cho etinena? Was this a promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to fulfill in the distant future? He's going to give Eretz Yisrael to the descendants of Avraham Avinu. But does it mean, no, ki l'cho etinena, I am now giving you Eretz Yisrael. By walking around the borders, you will acquire ownership of all of Eretz Yisrael, because walking around the borders constitutes a kinyan chazaka. So that's how the Gemara says. Walking around the borders constitutes a kinyan chazaka. The Gemara just has a machlekes hatanoim around Daf Kufa, so on Bava Basra, whether this din of walking around the borders constitutes a kinyan chazaka, is that even mizman hazeh? One Tana Rav Lez holds that it's even mizman hazeh. We don't pass like that. We pass when there was only a kinyan chazaka that was once in the history of the world. That was a hayra shoah that Avraham Avinu acquired Eretz Yisrael through kinyan chazaka. But the Gemara's conclusion is that that was the kinyan chazaka, not kilchot tenena. Wasn't the promise that in the distant future it will give Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu? The Gemara comes to the conclusion that Eretz Yisrael mechazakasi mi'avisenim imayis Avraham Avinu. Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people from the very beginning, from the days of Avraham Avinu, made the Kenyan.
For Avraham Avinu was a Kenyan Aguf, but not a Kenyan Peiros.
Right, Taisus talks about that the Kenyan was only Kenyan. The Guf, HaKarka, belonged to Avraham Avinu, but the Peiros still belonged to the Nochem. Taisus in Rosh Hashanah points that out, right. Mishlam Melech has a whole essay about that, that's based on that Taisus in Rosh Hashanah. Mishlam Melech has a Sefer Parashas Drachim, which is all on Agadah. Most of it is on Agadah, a little bit is on Aloha. So this, he talks a lot about that from the days of Avraham Avinu, he only had the Kenyan Aguf, he didn't yet have the Kenyan Peiros. Kenyan Peiros we got later in the days of Yishuv Binun. The Gemara quotes one Tana who was a Talmud of Reb Meir, who interpreted that was the whole Shaila of Benayis Tzolofchot. Usually when you read the Parsha of Benayis Tzolofchot, you get the impression that the Shaila was, if there are no sons, whether the daughters get Yerusha or not. So this Tana says, not true. Everybody knew that if there are no sons, the daughters get the Yerusha. The only suffix they had was, their father Tzlofchot was a b'chor to his father, Tzlofchot ben Chefer. He was the oldest son, he was the oldest child. And he was entitled to Pishnayim of Chefer's properties. But the Mishnah says in Yesh Nochlan that the b'chor only gets Pishnayim b'muchzok avolo b'roy. Pasuk says, Let's say the Chafer had purchased a lottery ticket, and the drawing of the lottery took place after he died. So he didn't have the money yet. So whatever Chafer had, whatever business Mitzrayim, whatever business Hayam, he had a sukkah, everybody had a sukkah, they were schlepping around with them in the Midbar. So when Chafer died, so Tzlovcha was entitled to Pishnayim, and whatever Chafer had in his suitcase, the jewelry that he got from the next the neighbor, Shalish and Mishchenta, Megoriz Beisa, whatever he had, so Tzlovchad was entitled to get Pishnayim. But the Bnei Tzlovchad were asking Moshe Rabbeinu, what about the Chelek and Eretz Yisrael? When Avraham Avinu walked around the borders, did he already acquire Eretz Yisrael? So Eretz Yisrael is Muchzok. So Tzlovchad ben Chefer is entitled to Pishnayim, even in the father's Chelek and Eretz Yisrael. Or should I say no? Kilechoy Tenena was a promise, in the future you're going to get, I will give you Eretz Yisrael. And it wasn't, the promise wasn't fulfilled until the days of Yishuv ben Nun, when they crossed over the Yarden. So then if it's only a promise for the future, then it's Ro'i and it's not Muchzok. The Bechor is not entitled to Pishnayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the answer, Son Titen, Kemen Aslov Chadovros, Son Titen Lahem Achuzas Nachalo. Why does it say, Son Titen a Kefaloshon? So the Mepharsh HaMachumish say, that's how this Tana got this Seinfeld, that the whole question was about Pishnayim, because it says, Son Titen a Kefaloshon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yes, Tzlovchad are entitled to Pishnayim of the father, because Tzlovchad was the Bechor Techefer, they're entitled to Pishnayim, not only what the father had, literally Tachas Yoda in a suitcase, in a sukkah, they're entitled to two shares of the schach and two shares of the tfanis, whatever, they're entitled to a double portion of Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael mechzakasi mi'aviseinu, mi'mois Avraham Avinu. And then the question is, how long did that kinyan last? The Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu delivered the prophecy, delivered the nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, it says he asked him, he tzalti ve'lakachta ve'yveis, he asked him, ha'aretz, v'nasalti osa lachem mor rosho. So when Bnei Yisrael presented their shayla, where Eretz Yisrael is muchzok ha'ra'oi, Moshe Rabbeinu started to think back, so he said, when I delivered the prophecy, when I said, v'nasalti osa lachem mor rosho, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell me to say mor rosho? Why didn't he say Yerusha? Is it because it's not a Yerusha? Because Avraham Avinu didn't acquire ownership yet? We're going to get the ownership in the future, in which case Eretz Yisrael is a Roi. It's not a Muchzok. Maybe Mor Rosho means the same as Yerusha. So Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't know. When I delivered the Nevuah, when I said to HaSalachem Mor Rosho, what is the meaning of the word Mor Rosho? He didn't pick the word. HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked the word. So the Gemara says he wasn't sure. And then the Rebbe Shalom told him, Noson Titein Lahem, they are entitled to Pishnayim, that Mor Rosho means Yerusha. So why didn't the Rebbe Shalom say Yerusha? Why didn't he say Yerusha? So it could be the following. I remember after the Sinai campaign, it's called in Brias Olam, nobody was born before the Sinai campaign. So the chief chaplain in the army was Rabbi Gorent. He was a very colorful individual. So he came to America and he spoke all over and he made a big hit. He's very colorful. So he spoke in Rabbi Soloveitchik's shir. Rabbi Soloveitchik was learning Sanhedrin that year. So he came and he said, in Eretz Yisrael, so he very colorful, he pulls out a pocket Gemara from his pocket. He says, Ashrei Mishabo Lakama Talmuda Biyodoi. Says he came from Yerushalayim and he brought a Yerushalmi with him. And he starts reading the Yerushalmi that the Mishlam Melech quotes in his Parashas Drochim. Yerushalmi Be'er Eretz Omasakasim Yavaseinim Yisav Avraham Avinu. So he gave a whole shiur and he says, I don't know what you're up to in Sanhedrin, but in Eretz Yisrael we learn very slowly, so I'm going to say a shiur on the first daf, on the base in Sanhedrin. And he said it over a shiur that had a lot to do with what Rav Soloveitchik said a shiur. Rav Soloveitchik had printed a Dvar years before, which he obviously was aware of, but he didn't mention it. So he said over a Dvar. Remember Rabbi Rekefet, who's here visiting, sat in the first row, so he had a wide smile on his face. So Rabbi Igorin says, what are you smiling at? So he says to him in his broken Hebrew that you were just mechavin to what Rabbi Soloveitchik said in the shiur. So he says, "Bachshi kavanti l'das hakdalim." He got all excited. He said the same. He knew in advance that Rabbi Soloveitchik had said it. So part of his shiur was the following. He got this from Rabbi Zalman Meltzer and Eben Hazel. that when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Eretz Yisrael with his armies, the Jewish people lost the ownership. We owned Eretz Yisrael in the days of Avraham Avinu till Churban Bayis Rishon. When Nebuchadnezzar conquered the land, we lost our ownership because the Gemara in Gittin has a whole sugya around Daf Mema, so Daf Lamedes, about Kibush Mochama. So the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, that if one Goyish nation conquers another Goyish nation, they acquire ownership of everything that's there. Russia takes over Crimea, where the Beheter of Yisra, the kind of Crimea. Whether they had the right to or not, the kind of Crimea. The Gemara says, Amon Amoyav Tiharu B'Sichoy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu warned us not to take Amon Amoyav, but we didn't take it directly from Amon Amoyav. Sichon waged war with Amon Amoyav, and he conquered their area, so we took it away from Sichon, so that it was laundered. Since it went through Sichon, we weren't in a violation of the din of Al Tatsa Asma Tizga Bo Muhammad. We didn't take it from Amon Amoyav, we took it from Sichon. So the Gemara says that pasuk in Chumash that says Amon Amoyav Tihar of Sichon indicates that if one Goyish country wins war against another Goyish country, that if a private person steals an automobile from someone else, it still belongs to the Nigzal. But if it's a real Mulchama, if it's a form of a Mulchama, not stama a little Ganav, so then Kibush Mulchama acquires ownership. Then the Gemara learns that from the Psukim. If the Jewish soldiers of Jewish army win against the Goyish army, or the Goyish army takes something away from the Jewish country, so there's a din of Kibush Mulchama. Whichever, whether Beheter of Yisra, whether they had a right to wage war or not, but the army that wins the war acquires ownership of the Karkov, the Metalplem, and all of the people as Avodim. So the Chazon Ish says there's one exception to the rule, Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael cannot be taken away from the Jews. When Avraham Avinu made the Kenyan was everlasting. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu, and then he made a bris with Avraham, and a bris with Yitzchak, and a bris with Yankov, Zechartis Bisi Yaakov, Afris Bisi Yitzchak, Bisi Avraham Eskar. The bris is the same as a shvua, the Ramban HaChumash says. Shvua and a bris are the same thing, and what it means is, I'll call upon him under all circumstances, is never going to be broken. So HaKadosh Baruch already gave Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu. So why did he have to make a bris? I always give this mashal. I come to your wedding. At the end of the wedding, I wish you mazel tov, and I say, I forgot to bring the present. I'll see it by the Shevet Brachos, and I'll bring the gift. I come to the Shevet Brachos, and I forgot, and I apologize, I forgot to bring the gift. Next year, you're going to have a bris. I'll see it by the bris. I'll bring you the wedding chasna matan. Come to the bris and I forgot, I'll see you by the pinyon aben. I keep on forgetting and I keep on promising I'm going to give you the wedding present. I'm going to give you the wedding present. So finally I give it. After 50 years of marriage, I give you the wedding present. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he said to Avraham Avinu, if it's a promise in the future, so you understand why he makes a promise to Avraham, a promise to Yitzchak, a promise to Yankov. He didn't live up to the promise yet. But the way the Gemara interprets that when Avraham Avinu walked around the borders, he already acquired ownership of the gift. He already owned Eretz Yisrael. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu keep on making a shvua with Avraham and a shvua with Yitzchak? The shvua of the axe is going to give Eretz Yisrael to their descendants. He already gave it to them. So what do you need a shvua for? So the Chazon Ish says, no, that's what it means. The shvua means al kapanim. A shvua and a bris means al kapanim. That Eretz Yisrael is not subject to the international principle of Kibush Mulchama. Once Avraham Avinu was kaina ownership, so it was never taken away. So during the 7 years of Golus Babel, it belonged to the Jewish people. And during the 1900 years of Golus after the Churban Bayis Rishon, it also belonged to the Jewish people. The Rav Soloveitchik always used to say, you don't have to have a debt of gratitude towards the British government. They didn't give us Eretz, so it didn't belong to them. It was Bigzela. It belonged to the Jewish people all along. Never belonged to any other country. Right, so we're going to talk about that. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, the ownership of Eretz Yisrael was from the days of Avraham Avinu. The Kedusha was created by Kibush, and the Rambam says when the Nebuchadnezzar made a Kibush, he undid the Kedusha. But then, right, the ownership was from the days of Avraham Avinu, we never lost the ownership. The question is, but the Rambam says that the Kedusha Shnia was created through Chazaka. So Rabbi Gorin was assuming in his Pilpul that chazaka means kinyan chazaka. The karka is nicknas bekesef or bishtar or bechazaka, so that means the kinyan chazaka. So in the middle of Rabbi Gorin's shiur, Rabbi Soloveitchik was sitting in the back of the classroom, so he started to chat to him about that, and he said, that does mean kinyan chazaka. So he said, no, it means kinyan chazaka. He was learning like Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, as in Eben also. So Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't want to pursue it any further. His whole shiur was based on that assumption. So the next day, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Gorin was not there in the classroom, so the next day Rabbi Soloveitchik said, whenever Tamachok makes a mistake, you're not supposed to show Kovin Harav. He says, Rabbi Gorin made a mistake yesterday. He was saying in Yiddish. The Shia at that time was in Yiddish. He said, it's absolutely not correct. The Jewish people never lost the ownership of Eretz Yisrael during the 70 years of Golas Bavel. We never lost the ownership in the 1900 years of the Golas after the Churban Bayis Sheni. That's what, like the Chazon Ish says, he didn't quote the Chazon Ish. That's what the Bris and the Shvuah was all about, that, that Eretz Yisrael will always belong to the Jewish people. We never lost our ownership. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to comment on the opening Rashi on Chumash. Rashi says, "The Umas Olam say, listen at them, you are ganovim, you stole Eretz Yisrael." So he, whenever we talk about that Rashi, he says, "I think I just read that yesterday in the New York Times. That's what they said in the United Nations. The Arabs were always tumbling. We stole Eretz Yisrael. They still say we stole Eretz Yisrael, belongs to them." So he said, "That's the, they hold that Eretz Yisrael is theirs because of Kibbush Muhammad." And we hold that Kibbush Muhammad applies to everything in the world except for Eretz Yisrael. There was a bris and there was a shvur. We never lost our ownership of Eretz Yisrael. That's a good question. What is the word chazak in the context of the Rambam? The Rambam isn't quoting any pasuk in Chumash. The Gemara never uses that lashon. The Rambam uses the lashon chazak. It's a good question. What does it mean? The Rambam is based on a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi comments on the pasuk. It says at the end of the Teichacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us back to Eretz Yisrael, "V'hitivcha v'hirbucha mi'avisech," we'll have it better off than our ancestors had. When the Jews came back after 70 years of Golas Babel, in what way did they have it better off than their ancestors? They didn't have it better off. Days of Yeshua Benun, they were winning the wars with Nisim and Aflois. It was L'maylam and Ateva, and the Goyim were so petrified. And the Jews had an independent country that was their own. In the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, they didn't have any independence till the days of the Chashmonaim. That was 200-300 years later. Chashmonaim, the victory was 200 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. So it was way into the Bayis Sheni. There was no Jewish government the first couple of hundred years. So what way was it? Hitivcha v'hirbucha mi'avisecha. So the Yerushalmi says, commenting on that pasuk, "Avisechem lo nischayvu b'trumas ha'maisres Allah Yerusha Vishiva, your ancestors had to have Sheva Shekov Shuva, Sheva Shechilko, to endow Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha Batem, and you, when you return back after the Golas Bavel, Miyad, Shenichnastem, Nischayavta." When they moved in, so that's what the Rambam is quoting, that Yerushalm. The Kedusha Vishayna was Ayyadei Kibush, and it took 14 years, it took 7 years, that's in Yeshua. It says it took 7 years to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. There were Lamed Aleph Malachim there, because Eretz Yisrael is a central location that connects Europe, Asia, and Africa. So all the countries in the world wanted to control Eretz Yisrael because of its central location. So it took 7 years to conquer all of the Lamed Aleph Malachim. And then the Gemara says we have an oral tradition. Gemara means an oral tradition that it took Sheva Shechilku. It took 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael amongst the Shvatim, amongst the Mishpachas, and amongst the Yechidim. And the Gemar HaKibush was through the Chalukah. So the Mekadosh was the Kibush. And the Kedusha Shnei was like Chazaka. When the Jews moved in, Chazaka means, the Prima Gaon writes in the Psich HaKalel, the word Chazaka has many different meanings that are absolutely unrelated to each other. You have Cheskas HaBatim. Cheskas HaBatim Shaloshana means if you live in the house, or you're living on the farms. Here the Rambam uses the Loshon Chazaka in the sense of Cheskas HaBatim. You're not going to, let's say, if you want to sell me a house, and I say, okay, I'll move into the house. I'll live in the house. Cheskas habatim. That's not a way to be koine karka. Karka is niktas b'chazaka. The Mishnah says, noal gadar aparetz. You have to put up a fence, or knock down a fence, or lock the door or something. You have to do something. But or dig to do some tikkun in the karka, something. But just to live in the house, that's not a kinyan chazaka. It's a cheskas habatim. So the Rambam says, the Kedusha Shnei was like they, Chazaka, the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael, was the fact that the Jews moved back into Eretz Yisrael. This reawakened the Kedusha Rishayna. that was originally Kedusha Rishayna, any area, that's Rab Chaim added on. Any location in Eretz Yisrael that had a Kedusha Rishayna, so if the Jews and the Kedusha Rishayna was cancelled at the time of Kibush HaOrus HaYedei, the Nebuchadnezzar, so when the Jews moved back in the beginning of the Bais Sheni, the Kedusha Rishayna was rekindled. That's Rab Chaim has a famous comment. The Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanaim in the first perek in Gittin on Daf Ches regarding Surya. The Tanoim lived after the Churban Bais Sheni. All the Tanoim who were discussing the topic, they lived after the Churban Bais Sheni. So they're discussing whether Surya has Kedushas HaOrus Ben HaTorah Midi Rabbanon. They're discussing ancient history, that when David HaMelech waged war and he conquered Surya, it was done through a kibush yochid. It wasn't done through a kibush rabban. It wasn't on behalf of everybody, all the shvatim. He kept it for himself, for his family. So the Gemara has a machlokes, but the kibush yochid shmei kibush, a kibush yochid lav shmei kibush. So our prime is the kasha, kibush yochid shmei kibush, lav shmei kibush would be from the days of David HaMelech's conquering Surya till the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Did Surya have Kedusha deraisa or only make-believe Kedusha midirabbana? So you say kibush yochid lav shmei kibush, so there's only the Kedusha midirabbana, only make-believe Kedusha midirabbana. But the Tanoim lived after that. Tanoim lived after the Churban Bais Sheni. So what are they pilpiling about ancient history? Kedusha shnia depends if the Jews moved in. So did the Jews, when they came back from Babel, did they move into Surya, did they not? If they moved into Surya, they were mekadosh. If they didn't move in, they weren't mekadosh. So he said, you see, Rab Chaim said, you see from the Gemara that the Beitivcha the Hirbecha Me'avisecha, and Yerushalmi has that expression, Avisechem lo nischayu v'betrumas ha'maisus alacha Yerusha v'yishiv v'atem yachin echnastem nischayavtem, any location that had a Kedusha Rishayna, Ha'idei Kibush, you can rekindle, you can reawaken the Kedusha by moving in. So that was the question, did Surya ever have a Kedusha there, Isa? If they never had a Kedusha deraisa in the days of David HaMelech, then by just moving in, you can't be Mekadosh. Unless you're going to have a kibush now to start anew, make a kibush. Jews didn't have any kibush in the beginning of the Bais Sheni. So that's why the Gemara says that the status of Kedusha Surya, whether it's deraisa or derabbana, depends on the ancient history. Did it have a Kedusha Rishayna deraisa in the days of David HaMelech or not? Because the Kedusha Shneya only takes effect by moving in, by Chayidei Chazoka, by moving in. It only reawakens the Kedusha if it once had a Kedusha Rishayna Deraisa. So when we speak about the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, we mean with respect to mitzvah Satliyas Barnes, respect to Trumas and Maisis, Shemitah V'yoyva, Leket Shikho Peya. Then there's another aspect to Kedusha Sa'aretz that appears in the Mishnah Kelim, in the first parak in Kelim. The Mishnah lists off Eser Kedusha Sein. There are 10 levels of Kedusha. So the Mishnah says, Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes, Mikol HaRotzeis, Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha as opposed to Chutz Lord, Shemivim, Imeno HaOymer, Ushtei Alechem. The Mincha HaOymer on Pesach, first day Chalamai Pesach, and the Shtei Alechem has to have the barley for the Oymer, and the wheat for the Shtei Alechem has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. A very obscure halacha. So it's a pella, the Mishnah wants to bring out Kedusha HaOretz. So he mentions such a din that 99% of Talmid HaChacham never heard of, that the Oymer Shtei Alechem has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. Other menachas don't have to grow. The grain for menachas doesn't have to be grown in Eretz Yisrael. You can take American wheat also and bring it as a mincha. But Oymer Shtei Alechem have to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. So why does the Mishnah mention that then? Why not say Eretz Yisrael Mekadesh is v'kol ha'aretzes that Yechayivin, Shumas and Maisa, Shmita V'yoyva, Lekha Shikropeya, Peret Ololos, so many mitzvahs hatliyas ba'aretz. So Rabbi Nachum Zembe has a whole essay that's called Oitzer HaSifrei. He has an essay, Oitzer HaSifro. Then he has an essay, Oitzer HaSifrei. Rabbi Nachum Zembe was a businessman. He never officially had a rabbinical position, but he was a Goyin HaGoyin. He was killed by the Nazis at the end of the Warsaw Ghetto. He was killed at the end. So the... There was a whole group of Poilashe Goinim Adirim who were businessmen. They knew every Yerushalmi, they knew every Tosefta, they knew every Rambam, they knew every Or Samech, they knew everything. So one of them, one of their friends of Rabbi Nachum Zembe, who's also a businessman, his name is Yoskevich, forgot his first name, he put out the Sifrei Zuto. Sifrei Zuto is a different Sifrei. We have the Sifrei that we have on Bamidbar and Dvarim. The Gemara says, Tam Sifrei is Reb Shimon, Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. It's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, following the Derech Alima of Rabbi Akiva. The Sifrei Zuta is a different Hebrew. It's really Aramaic. It's not the same. The Sifrei is pure Hebrew. Sifrei is pure Hebrew, Mechilta also. And the Sifrei Zuta is Aramaic mixed in with Hebrew. And it doesn't always follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion. It follows Rabbi Yishmael. So there was an earlier edition, and then, before the Second World War, there's a businessman in Poland put out a Sifrei Zuta with Ha'oris. The Ha'oris and the footnotes, he quotes every Or Samech, and every Tzaf Nespanech, Rogachov, and every Tosefta, and every Rambam that's relevant to explain. He has long pilpulim there. So he sent a copy of the Sefer to Rabbi Menachem Zemba. Does he have anything to add? They want to have some Ha'oris. So he sent it back 100 pages of Ha'oris, a kuntres on the Esek Kedushas, because the first thing in the Sifrei Zuta is identical, practically identical, with the text of the Mishnah in Kelim, Perek Aleph and Kelim, Esek Kedushas same, but here and there, there are slight discrepancies. So he wrote a whole kuntres, 100 pages long, about the discrepancies between the Sifrei Zuta and the Mishnah regarding the Esek Kedushas. So the gist of what he says is, Rav Soloveitchik liked this very much. I don't think he knew it from Menachem Zemba, he said it on his own, but he liked to say this every couple of years, he would say over this pshat. Esek Kedushas Hay means that there are 10 levels of Kedushas HaMikdash. The center of Kedushas HaMikdash is the Kodesh HaKadoshim Bein Abadim, where the Oren was and where the Oren used to be. By Sheni, the Oren wasn't there. Then the rest of the Hechel has a lower level, Kodesh HaKadoshim has the highest level of Kedusha. Hechel has a slightly lower level of Kedusha. Bein Ha'ulam V'Lamizbeach has a lower level of Kedusha. The rest of the Azara has a lower level of Kedusha. You keep on going further, further out. So all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. Of course, Eretz Yisrael has a Kedushas HaOretz, that Yechai V'Mitzvah Satli Yisbaretz. That's not what the Mishnah is driving at. Mishnah is trying to emphasize Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. So you can't say Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Haraya, Yechai V'Trumas HaMais Shmita Di'Ever Lekhet Shikropeya. No, that doesn't prove that it has Kedushas HaMikdash. These two dinim, these two obscure dinim, this because the Omer and the Shtei Alechem have to grow in the Beis HaMikdash, but not in the Beis HaMikdash proper. Anywhere in Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. That's what the Mishnah means to say. So you have the Moshe, the first Mechilta, Chumash Mos, the first Mechilta says that Kodim Shenivcharo Eretz Yisrael, before Eretz Yisrael was chosen, who you call Harotz Ksheves Lebama, you would be allowed to build a bomber wherever you want, bring karbonos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then, Mishav Yisrael as HaYardin, after Yishuv Benun crossed over the Yardin, now Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael, there was no longer, when there was a het of bombers in Eretz Yisrael, there was a het of bombers before Shiloh, and in between Shiloh and Yerushalayim. During Shiloh, there was an east of bombers, and after Yerushalayim, there was no het of bombers. But before Binyan Shiloh, and after Shiloh, there was a het of bombers, so the Mechilta says, the first Mechilta, and Chumash Mo says the Et Abamos was only in Eretz Yisrael. See that all of Eretz Yisrael has, in a certain sense, a Kedushas HaMikdash, has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. You can only build a Bama in Eretz Yisrael. Or there is a Tosefta, I think, that says the Gemara comments on the closing pasuk in Shiras Hazino, B'chipa Radmasai Amoi. So Rashi writes the Pshuto Shel Mikra B'chipa Radmasai Amoi is the hemshach of what comes right before it. It says that there'll be a holocaust, and the Jews will suffer tremendously, and people will wonder, where was God when all of this was happening? But where was God when all of this was happening? Exactly, that's what everybody was saying, the Jews and the non-Jews were saying. And then it says, after everything will be over, that's the concluding pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will end this holocaust, and he will v'chiper ad masai v'yamai. Rashi says pshut shel mikra v'chiper means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease his land. Eretz Yisrael will be restored to its a beautiful condition. It'll start growing, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease the Jewish nation. After the Nazi Holocaust, after all the persecutions, so Eretz Yisrael started to sprout, and the Jewish people were developing like never before. You have so many yeshivas, so many people learning in yeshivas, and so on. We never had so many people learning in yeshivas. So that's the pasuk pshat and the pasuk. V'chiper Amasai Ama means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mefayes ad masai vi'amai. That's how Rashi says, Chumash Pshuto Shel Mikra. So then the Gemara in the end of Ksubis has an additional level of interpretation, not lefi pshutoi, that b'chipa ad masai amai, Eretz Yisrael can accomplish an atonement for the Jewish people. So if a person moves to Eretz Yisrael and he lives in Eretz Yisrael, avonosav dimcholim, his sins will be forgiven. Pnei Yeshua adds on, if he does tshuva, there's never any kapara unless you do tshuva. Pnei Yeshua quotes the Rambam, beginning of Hilchas Tshuva, where the Rambam says that the Harugei Bezdin, Arba Mises Bezdin, so the Mishnah says, before the Bezdin would administer the death penalty, so they would encourage the person to say vidui, that just by giving you the death penalty, you're not going to get a kapara. Say vidui and you get a kapara. Then the Rambam quotes that. Then he says, when they gave someone malchus, they would encourage the person, do tshuva, say vidui, do tshuva. The malchus is not going to bring you a kapara unless you do tshuva. Then the Rambam says the same is true Yom Kippur. There's a machlokes hatanoim, where the Yom Kippur is mechaper afilo l'sheinim shovim. The Rambam assumes that not. It's not mechaper l'sheinim shovim. And it's negiah halacha l'maisa. It's not just the question for the Bezdin Shalmayim. The question, the Gemara says, in the end decreases, the question for Oshim Toloi. One who was chayv in Oshim Toloi, but over all of Yom Kippurim, so then he's potter, he gets a mechilas avon, it doesn't have to bring Oshim Toloi. What if on Yom Kippur he didn't do tshuva? He was still oimid b'merde, he didn't do tshuva, and then he only does tshuva after Yom Kippur. So is he still chayv in Oshim Toloi? So we paskin, yes, he's still chayv. Yom Kippur is only mechapa l'shovim. Then the Rambam says, the same is true when a person is chayv a korban. A person brings a chatos and Oshim to the Beis Hamikdash, and his sins will be forgiven only if he says vidui and he does tshuva. If he doesn't do tshuva, he doesn't. So the Pnei Yeshua quotes this Rambam that you never get a mechilas avinas unless you do tshuva. So the Gemara means to say, v'chiper abmasa amai, if a person moves to Eretz Yisrael and he walks dalal amas in Eretz Yisrael, avinasim nimcholim, if he does tshuva, so then he will be his sins will be forgiven. Or the Gemara says, if a person dies in Chutz Lortz and he's buried in Eretz Yisrael, so then also, the Gemara says, "Ein adayma kol tosa lachamisa lekol tosa mechaim." If a person is only buried in Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't get as much kapara as he would have gotten if he would have lived in Eretz Yisrael. That's called kol tosa mechaim. If he moves to Eretz Yisrael while he's alive and he lives there, that's a deeper degree of kapara. If he's only kol tosa lachamisa, he's buried in Eretz Yisrael, so it's less. So the Tosefta has an expression, "Kol hakover be'Eretz Yisrael." Anyone is buried anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Kilu kover tachas hamizbeach. What does it mean? The mizbeach brings kapara. So whoever is buried in Eretz Yisrael brings kapara. So this is also, you're talking about Eretz Yisrael as having a certain degree of Kedushas Beis Hamikdash. All of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Beis Hamikdash. Eretz Yisrael is not mechapa, but there is Kedushas Haaretz. Kedushas Haaretz is mechayv in the agricultural mitzvahs. And leket shikopeya on shumas amaisis and so on. But Eretz Yisrael, that it accomplishes kapara, that's kalakava beretzel kilukava tachas hamizbeach. So we're assuming that all of Eretz Yisrael has to a certain extent a kedushas hamigdash.
But doesn't that imply that does happen by itself? Because, like, let's say, even if he did tshuva before he passed away, and then he buried in Eretz Yisrael, it's still mashma where they buried him, you know, affects his kapara.
So what do you say would appear about even if he doesn't do tshuva?
No, I'm saying it isn't a mashma that the burial in Eretz Yisrael itself is somehow mechaper.
Yeah. If he doesn't do tshuva, you mean?
No, let's say he does, but like somehow that it's more. Right? Because otherwise, what's it saying? If he does tshuva and he passes away, or he does tshuva and he passes away and then they bury him in Eretz Yisrael, right? So saying it's mechaper more than if he just would have done tshuva and passed away. So somehow. And isn't
it
saying, isn't
Mashma
that the burial itself does more than just the tshuva or something?
Yeah, that is correct.
But I thought the Rambam was like trying to say it's all
tala
in the
tshuva. No. The Rambam says sometimes you need malka, sometimes you need misa, sometimes you need a korban, sometimes you need, you should die mamish. And all of these things, the Gemara says, abo chiluki kapar, the end of human. The Gemara says, if a person just violated an essay, he missed his man kriyishma, he missed the day, he didn't daven, he didn't like tefillin. So if he does tshuva, he nizaz mishamat shemachla, he gets mechilas avonos right away. But if he violates a lois essay, a lois essay sheish b'koreis, he doesn't, just by doing tshuva, he doesn't get mechilas avonos, he needs something more. So then you need living in Eretz Yisrael. Just tshuva alone would not be mechaper on that. You would have needed something much more. But living in Eretz Yisrael functions as the mechila. Sometimes you need Yisurim, okay. So somehow the Eretz Yisrael plays a role that you're not going to need Yisurim, and you're not going to need as many Yisurim.
That's the Kesha.
Yeah, yeah. Even though tshuva alone should not have brought the kapara, but tshuva with living in Eretz Yisrael, bearing in Eretz Yisrael, will accomplish a kapara, right? The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Tefillah writes what the din deraisa used to be, and then when Ezra with the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah set up the whole system of Shachris bin Hamayrev, so what the din is bizman hazeh. When the Rambam writes the din deraisa, so he writes Ben HaTorah, one is obligated to daven once a day, every day. That's Ben HaTorah, the Rambam Shita. The Ramban and Sefer HaMitzvah disagrees. That's the Rambam's opinion. And then he says, and the outline of Tefillah has to be Shevach, Bakosha, Hoidoya. The outline is a din deraisa. The specific text is only with the Rabbana. In fact, you have to daven three times a day, four times a day, five times a day. Yom Kippur, you say Nila, five times a day. That's when the Rabbana, once a day, every day is the deraisa. So when the Rambam is listing off what the din deraisa used to be regarding tefillah, so he mentions you have to daven nochach hamikdash. You have to face the Beis Hamikdash. The Rambam writes that is a, sounds from the Rambam very much that is a din deraisa. Where is the mocker for that? You have to face the Beis Hamikdash when you daven. So that's based on Tefillah Shloima, that he, when he built the Beis Hamikdash, he offered, well, Yispalo Shloima, he offered a Tefillah and Sefer Melochim, and he didn't, I don't think he mentions that he built the Beis Hamikdash that we should be able to bring Karbonas. That, by him, that's not the Ike. He said, he built the Beis Hamikdash, we have a place to daven. Ki Beis HaBeis Tefillah Yikar L'Cholam. Now the Yeshaya says, Beis Hamikdash is Beis Tefillah Yikar L'Cholam. So Shlomo HaMelech invites all the non-Jews to come. The Jews, non-Jews, if there's an epidemic, or there's a milchama, or someone cheated you, or someone is sick, you should come to the Beis HaMikdash and daven. They say, second Beis, V'ispalo Alecha Derech HaBayis HaZeh. Those who can't come to the Beis HaMikdash, they should face the Beis HaMikdash, Nochach HaMikdash. And those who live outside of Yerushalayim, V'ispalo Alecha Derech HaYir HaZos, they should face Yerushalayim. And those who live outside of Eretz Yisrael, V'ispalo Alecha Derech HaArtzah, they should face Eretz Yisrael. And it's all based on this idea of Nochach HaMikdash. So let's say a person lives in Chutz Loretz, he doesn't have to face the Beis HaMikdash. He knows where the Beis HaMikdash is, northeast from where he is. Let's say he's in Morocco, I don't know. So Beis HaMikdash is northeast. He doesn't have to face northeast. He just faces Eretz Yisrael, that's called Nochach HaMikdash, because all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. When you get to these din, all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash.
So nowadays, let's say we don't have malchus, so a person does a lot, you can't really
gain kapara. We don't have any malchus, yeah?
Now, if someone violates the law, you can't get kapara. If he does something shogeg, does tefillah count for
karma? The Gemara says they're different things. I'm a chaper, Yisurim, I'm a chaper. I think the din is that the malchus is needed for kapara only if the Bez made a Gemar Din Lamalkas. If the Bez didn't make a Gemar Din Lamalkas, then you can get a kapara through Yisurim, through other things. Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Mechaper. Then the Rambam points out there's another aspect of Eretz Yisrael unrelated to everything else that we said so far. Eretz Yisrael Al-Kidin is the national homeland of the Jewish people. That sounds very secular, but what does that mean? So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis in Bchoros on Daf Chof Tes, the Mishnah has to speak there about Smicha. Rabbi Tarfon made a mistake in Psak, and he said, wow, I'm going to have to pay now. Holcha Chamor Chatarfon. I'm going to have to sell my Chamor to pay the person because it's my fault that they suffered a loss. I gave a false Psak. He paskened that some flesh was treif, and they fed it to the dogs. Echilu leklovim. And then he realized that he gave a wrong psak, so he said he's going to have to make good. So then they told him, the Tanoim told Rabbi Tarfon, you don't have to pay because you have smicha. If a person has real bona fide smicha, and told lo yisham, then he doesn't have to pay if he made a mistake. So the Rambam there has a little bit of a discussion of what smicha is all about. And Bchoros, he should have written it in Sanhedrin, where the Mishnah is talking about smicha. So he writes it there in Bchoros and Daf Chav Tes. So the Rambam says, he quotes the Gemara, smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. And he says the reason why it's an agricultural mitzvah, the farmers get smicha. The farmers don't get smicha. Why is smicha only restricted to Eretz Yisrael? So the Rambam says, because only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael have the status of Klal Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Lords are considered like Yechidim. There's no Tziruf of Klal Yisrael. And he says, the smicha is not conferred by a private person. I have smicha, and I confer the smicha upon you. When the Talmid Chacham has smicha, confer smicha to someone else, he's representing all of Klal Yisrael. The smicha is conferred by Klal Yisrael. And the Maisa smicha is one who has smicha, confers it, but he's representing all of Klal Yisrael. So the Rambam says, that's why smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael is only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. How does he know that that's true? So the Rambam quotes the Gemara in the beginning of Horius. The first parak in Horius, the Gemara talks about Par Halam Dover Shel Tzibur, that if a private person was Mechal Shabbos B'Shoigig, a private person ate Chela B'Dam B'Shoigig, has to bring a Korban Chatas Kizbo Hasira. And what if the Bez Nagorol made a mistake in Psak, and the Rav HaTzibur, 51% of Klal Yisrael violated this Aveira Sheyesh B'Koris because of the mistake in Psak of the Bez Nagorol? So the Chumash says in Parshas VaYikra, Bez Nagorol has to bring this Par Halam Dover Shel Tzibur. So the Gemara says, when you calculate whether 51% of the Tzibur sinned, you only count the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Lots are not part of Kohol. The Pasuk says, V'nelam tova me'eni ha-kohol. If the Klal Yisrael did the sin. The Klal Yisrael only applies to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Jews who live in Chutz Lots are not called Klal Yisrael. They're considered Yechidim. That's how the Minchas Chinuch interprets the Gemara in Megillah. Daf Yudalit. Mar Megillah asks, how come there's a discrepancy? How come on Chanukah we recite Hallel and on Purim we don't recite Hallel? The Gemara gives three answers. So one of the three answers is, you only say Hallel on a nest that occurred in Eretz Yisrael. A nest that occurred in Chutz Lords doesn't deserve Hallel. Why not? So the Maharsho on the Gemara interprets, because a nest in Eretz Yisrael is going to be Lemaila Min HaTeva, and nest in Chutz Lords is going to be Nes Nister. It's going to be B'derech HaTeva. You only say Hallel if there's an Nes Nigla, not if it's an Nes Nister. And the Minchas Chinuch gives a different suggestion. He says, no, you only say a Hallel on a Nes that occurred to Klal Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Lots are considered Ki Yechidim. The Yiddish Yishu, the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's considered Klal Yisrael. The Rambam repeats this idea, what he wrote in Pchoris, on Daf Chavtes, on the Mishnah, that Smicha is only in Eretz Yisrael, because Smicha is, the one who gives Smicha is representing all of Klal Yisrael. The Sridi Eish has an essay also, he talks about Smicha. Maybe we spoke about it before the Chag HaSmicha. He says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the first parak tells the story that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bovo wanted to confer Smicha to some of his students, but he was afraid that the Romans had made a gzera, that if anybody confers Smicha, they'll kill him, and they kill all the Jews who live in that city. So he didn't want to, he was prepared to give up his life, but he didn't want to put the lives of all the Jewish people in danger. So he picked a location that was far away from two different cities, and he gave the smicha to several of his students, and the Romans caught him and they killed him. And he suffered a misa mishuna. So the Sridi Yesh asks, why didn't he give a private smicha quietly? Nobody will know. And you go to shul, and Tinek, half the people in the shul have smicha. Nobody knows that smicha, doesn't have smicha. Why did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava have to give up his life? You should have given smicha quietly. So he says, you see from the Gemara that smicha can only be conferred in a public, demonstrative fashion. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava didn't want to put the lives of the Jewish communities in danger, so he gave smicha in the middle of the desert. But he had to give it in a public fashion. And this is based on the pasuk when HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe Rabbeinu, he should confer smicha on Yeshua ben Nun. So it says, V'samachtos yotcha olov, v'tzivisa oso li'einehem. You should give the smicha in the presence of all of Klal Yisrael. Smicha is given as by the masmich as representing all of Klal Yisrael. So that's the Rambam's explanation. Smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael, even though it has nothing to do with agriculture, because smicha is an inyan has to do with Klal Yisrael. The Rambam repeats the same idea in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The mitzvah says the Kuf Nun Gimel. When we learned Sanhedrin, Rav Soloveitchik took our time to read the Rambam, and there's a long Ramban there. Mitzvah says, the mitzvah of Kviyas Haluach, Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashana, the Rambam holds is one mitzvah. HaChodesh HaSalochem, the mitzvah of Kviyas Haluach. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin that Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashana must be done in Eretz Yisrael. Le'ikuva. You can't do Kiddush HaChodesh in Chutz La'aretz. So the Rambam explains why in the Sefer HaMitzvos, and he says, because Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashana is not done by the Bezin. It's done by Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael only applies to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Whoever lives in Chutz La'aretz is considered Ki Yechidim. And the Rambam writes,
why do we say that if there's nobody who lives in Eretz?
Right, the Gemara has this, an exception to the rule. If you have an unusual Talmud Chacham, who was clearly the Gadol Hador, Lo Yinich Kamosa Be'eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Akiva, what in his generation was the undisputed Gadol Hador, so he had the right, he had the ability to declare Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashana, even the Chutz La'aretz, because the Gadol Hador represents Klal Yisrael wherever he goes. But if it's not the Gadol Hador, then it has to be done in Eretz Yisrael. That's the explanation of that Gemara also, that the Gadol Hador represents all of Klal Yisrael, even if he happens to be in Chutz La'aretz. Otherwise you need that the Kiddush HaChodesh should take place in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam adds on there in the Sefer HaMitzvos, we have the translation from the Arabic. So in the translation it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that Klal Yisrael would always survive. And if there would be a Holocaust where all the Jews in Eretz Yisrael would be killed, there would be millions of Jews living in Chutz La'aretz, but there would be no Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam writes Chas V'Shalom. That's apparently a translation from the Arabic. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have violated his promise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a shvuah that Klal Yisrael would exist. Klal Yisrael means the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. If there are no Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, there are millions of Jews living all over the world, they're Yechidim. Klal Yisrael doesn't exist. Klal Yisrael means the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. So how many Jews in the days of the Ram, how many Jews lived already in Eretz Yisrael? Hardly anybody. Miyuta de Miyuta. So that's considered Klal Yisrael. The Avnei Nezer has two volumes on Orach Chaim. So Chelek Beis of the Chuvos Avnei Nezer on Orach Chaim begins with Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. First Chelek is everything in Orach Chaim until Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. Then second Chelek begins with Rosh Chodesh. So this is the first two Chuvos in Chelek Beis. He puts together the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos and Chorus on Daf Chavtes, that the Smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael because Smicha is given by Klal Yisrael. And he puts it together with this Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs that Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah must be done in Eretz Yisrael because it has to be done by Klal Yisrael. There is such a Gemara in the end of the first Perek in Tainus. The Gemara says, let's say there's a dry season in Eretz Yisrael, so Pesach till Sukkot is the dry season. And a person is in a business, he needs rain. So if he personally needs rain, he shouldn't say the same Talamot in the middle of Shmak, in the middle of Baruch Aleinu. Baruch Aleinu, you only say the same Talamot if the whole Tzibur needs. So you should say the same Talamot or Levracha, he has a business that he needs rain, you should say it in Shmak Aleinu. The Gemara said, but if you have a whole city, Ir Gedolah Ninveh, you have thousands and thousands of Jews living in the city Ninveh, so they need, let's say they need rain in the middle of the dry season, so they ought to say it in Baruch Aleinu. The Gemara says, no. I feel in Chutz La'aretz, it's only Ki Yechidim Dami. Why is it Ki Yechidim Dami? So that's when the Menachas Chinuch says, when he explains the Gemara about why you don't say Halal, Ala Neshe B'Chutz La'aretz, he said that's what it says in the Gemara. All the Jews in Chutz La'aretz are Ki Yechidim Dami. There's only a Tziruf of Klal Yisrael, a Kohol, a Tziruf of Klal Yisrael, it's only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. And this Al Pi Pashtus is the meaning of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that the Klal, the Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh, that I can say Kiddush for someone else, even though I was Yotze already, Yotze Moitze, because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh, and if a person does an Averus, I'll be held responsible, I'll be punished, if I could have Hoyabi Yodel Limchas V'Loi Micho. So the Gemara says this principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh only set in Yishavu Yisrael HaYarden, after they crossed over the Yarden in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, the Kibbal Alein Brachas the Kololos at HaGrizim and HaRevim. That was the bris. At Maimon HaSinai, it was a bris with Yechidim. It wasn't a bris with the Tzibur. It wasn't a Tziruf HaTzibur. And an Arvis Moyav was the beginning of the second bris. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lo Yitchem Levatchem Monachik HaReses HaBris HaZos Esa Ola Zos Kiyas HaShayesh Nampo Ves HaShayesh Nenipo Imanu Oymer Hayoyim. So Rashi on that Pasuk in the beginning of Nitzavim quotes from the Gemara Shavuos that that's referring to the Doros HaBoim. means us. We today are obligated to observe the mitzvahs and the Torah, not because of Maimon Hasina. Maimon Hasina was only binding on the people who were present at that time. But the Bris Ad Arvis Mayav is binding on all the future generations. Why? The answer is because the Bris Ad Arvis Mayav was the beginning of a Bris. Rabbeinu Shlomo wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to make the Bris, but he wanted the Bris to be made in Eretz Yisrael, because the Tziruf, as one nation, the Tziruf is one nation, and even the future generations of us included in that nation, the Tziruf is only Meshavri Yisrael Zayarden. Because you live in Chutzlo, so you don't have the Tziruf. There's one Tziruf, the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael now at any given time. Then there's another Tziruf, after entering Eretz Yisrael, we became a nation. So even those who live in Chutzlo, it's relate to the fact that we have a national homeland. So the Rav Soloveitchik used to explain, the Rambam has several mitzvahs that depend on Eretz Yisrael, which are not agricultural mitzvahs. One is smicha, we mentioned before. One is egla rufa. Egla rufa only applies in Eretz Yisrael. And what's the third mitzvah? Smicha egla rufa. I forgot, the Rambam has three mitzvahs that depend. Emi dachas also. I don't know if that's the one. Kiddush HaChodesh, maybe that's not, I forgot already. So it depends on Eretz Yisrael, a couple of mitzvahs depend on Eretz Yisrael, but it's not from the mitzvahs HaTlias Baretz. So that's the word, these are Chayvus HaTzibur. These mitzvahs are Chayvus HaTzibur, and only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael have the status of Klal Yisrael. Then of course there's another inyan of Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Yeah, so I'm thinking of a different mitzvah. I forgot which one already. There are several mitzvahs that depend on Eretz Yisrael, even though it's not an agricultural mitzvah. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained. These are mitzvahs that depend on the tzibur. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam wrote a Sefer on mitzvahs, and he lists off what, in his opinion, are the 613 mitzvahs. So the Ramban deletes. Ramban knocks out a whole bunch of mitzvahs in the Rambam's listing. So he has to replace them with other mitzvahs. And the end of the listing of the mitzvahs, I say, so the Ramban has, they printed in all the regular editions of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, a whole list of mitzvahs that the Ramban thinks the Rambam forgot to count, because he deleted so many from the Rambam's counting, he has to replace them with others. He has mitzvahs essay dalet. So everybody always quotes the Ramban, Hakomas HaMedina. The Rambam said to establish a Jewish Medina is one of the 613 mitzvahs. So how come the Rambam didn't count it? So some say the Rambam holds the Hakamas HaMedina is only with the Rabbana. The mitzvah to establish a Medina is only with the Rabbana. And the Megillas Esther on the side of the Rambam gives us a strange answer. He says the Rambam himself writes in the 14 Sharoshim, in the beginning of the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvah, the Rambam lists off 14 principles, 14 guidelines that determine whether any given mitzvah belongs in the Minyan HaMitzvah or not. So he says you only include a mitzvah which is neheges l'doros. If you have something that's only hayra shor once in the history of the world, then you don't count it in the minyan mitzvahs. So the Rama gives an example, Bizas Mitzrayim. They were commanded to knock on the next door neighbor's door and to ask for matanas before they leave Mitzrayim. So that mitzvah doesn't apply bizman hazeh, even if you'll volunteer to ask your next door neighbor for matanas and I'll give you, there won't be any kema mitzvah. There's no such minig, there's no such din. Hayra shor once in the history of the world, so it doesn't belong in the Minyan HaMitzvah. So the Megillas Esther says that since the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Ksubis, the Shalosh Shvuos says, Yishbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Yisrael, you have a pasuk that appears three times in Shir HaShirim. Yishbati Eschem Enosu Yisholayim, Im Te'iru, Vim Te'iru, Esa Avo, Ad She'Techpon. So the Gemara understands the pasuk to mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the Jewish people take three Shvuos, three oaths. One of the oaths was that we wouldn't pressure the Ummah Soil, and we wouldn't force the issue, Shalayala Bachoyma, we won't force the issue to establish a Jewish Medina in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of establishing a Medina, because it's not Noig Bizman Hazeh. Limos HaMashiach, as Mashiach Vetkumen, then it'll be Noig at that time. So the Avnei Nezer says, what a difficult, Avnei Nezer was Chassidus Rebbe, Sachet Shavu Rebbe. So they asked him, is there a mitzvah? And he lived, he died 100 years ago. So that's when they started to colonize Eretz Yisrael. Jews were moving to Eretz Yisrael. So they asked him, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael today. They didn't ask about Hakamas Amdin. He asked, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael today? And if there is a mitzvah, how come the Gedolei Hachsidus didn't move to Eretz Yisrael all the generations? So he says, there certainly is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael today. Megillas Esther has a comment on the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvahs that if the mitzvah doesn't apply today because of the Shalosh Shavuos, so he said, Bechlala doesn't make any sense. The Rambam counts all the mitzvahs that have to do with the Beis HaMikdash, bringing karbonis. It doesn't apply to Bezmanas either. The Rambam holds that Trumas and Maisis, Bezmanas is only with the Rabbanon. But the Rambam counts everything in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, that's not called the Hayru Ashur. If for some reason or another, there's no Beis HaMikdash, you can't bring karbonis. But the karbonis is a din l'doiros. If it's going to be binding in Limos HaMashiach, it is a din l'doiros, not a Hayru Ashur. So he says what the Megillas Esther wrote is incorrect. The truth of the matter is, the Megillah says to miss the whole point of the Ramban. Ramban didn't say, what the Megillah says to say, the reason why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of establishing the Medina is because it's not Noeg L'doros, because in the present generation, until Mashiach comes, we're not allowed to establish a Medina, we're not allowed to force the issue, because Sholosh was Hishbiah HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Yisrael. So, the whole thing is not true. The Rambam does count the mitzvah of Hakamas HaMedina. The Rambam, beginning of Hilchos Melachim, says, he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chof and Mebeis, Gimel mitzvahs, it's Tabi Yisrael b'chnisasim la'aretz. We spoke about it just the other day. Lahamed Lahamelech, to establish a Jewish government controlling all of Eretz Yisrael, a Jewish government has to have an army, and then Lachuz Arishal HaMolech, Jewish army has to wipe out HaMolech, and only after that, then, Livnas lehem beis abchira, to build a beis hamikdash. So the Rambam does count the mitzvah of lahamid lahamelech to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. That wasn't the hasogas of Ramban. That mitzvah, the Ramban says, if we have the ability today, we should put together an army and conquer Eretz Yisrael and establish a government. The Rambam agrees to that. The Rambam counted that mitzvah. The Ramban was masig on the Rambam. He forgot to count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. Aliyah. Not that he forgot to count the mitzvah of establishing a Medina. The mitzvah of a Medina he did count. He didn't mention the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. That's the kasha. And that, the Megillas Esther never answered. Megillas Esther thought, mistakenly, that the Ramban was mentioning the mitzvah Sheshochach Harav, the mitzvah that the Rambam forgot to count, is the mitzvah to establish a Medina. So he says, well, it's a Hayru Ashur because it doesn't apply to Bezman Hazeh because of the Shalosh Shavuos. There never was Shalosh Shavuos against living in Eretz Yisrael. There's no Shalosh Shavuos about that. Shalayal Bachama means not to pressure the Umas Olam to let us establish a government in Eretz Yisrael. So the whole Megillah says to Shver. The Min Katcha was the main anti-Zionist spokesman among the Hungarian Rabbanim, and they were all afraid to argue with him. So he, in his tshuva, he has very nice tshuvas. This is a very difficult tshuva. You compare it to all the other tshuvas, are regular, normal, classical style tshuvas. You can agree, you can disagree. Very nice tshuva. And this tshuva is so shvach. The tshuva about Zionism is so shvach. Everything rests on this Megillas Esther. And he knew that Avnei Nezer said it was a mistake. The whole Megillas Esther doesn't make any sense. The whole thing is a pella.
I think the Rambam mentions the tshuvas at all.
Right. None of the Rishonim quote it as a halacha. Shalosh Shavuos is an agarata. We're not sure what it means. The first one who made it into halacha was the Megillas Esther. He came to defend the Rambam. Why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah? He thought the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of Hakamas HaMedina. So he said because it's a Hayru Ashur because of the Shalosh Shavuos. The whole thing is a pillar. Yeah, but there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The shot is why? How come the Rambam didn't count that mitzvah? So the Knesset HaGdola writes, the Rambam thinks the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only with the Rabbanan. Very difficult. The Pashta says it certainly is a mitzvah in HaTorah. You read the Chumash in the beginning to the end. That's what it sounds like. So most of the other Mefarshim assume not so. Not like the Knesset HaGdola. Most of the Mefarshim on the Sefer HaMitzvahs assume the Rambam also agrees that there is a mitzvah in HaTorah to live in Eretz Yisrael. But he doesn't count it as an independent mitzvah. He holds that it's included in a different mitzvah. Either like the Ramban says on Chumash, that the Iker place of Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs is really Eretz Yisrael. So living in Eretz Yisrael enhances the mitzvah of Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha and Tzitzis and Tefillin. It enhances every mitzvah. It's a heder in every mitzvah. or it's included in the mitzvah of avoy sidbok. We should be closer with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there's a hashuas hashchina in Eretz Yisrael. So to be closer with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should live in Eretz Yisrael. Or the Avnei Nezi gives a different. Avnei Nezi answers a whole series of kashas. He quotes, it wasn't his idea, he quotes from one of the earlier commentaries on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Whenever there are two mitzvahs, and one mitzvah is in order to lead up to another mitzvah, so it does make sense that you should count it twice. So he says over here, there is a mitzvah, Hachrim Tachrimim. The Rambam counts that mitzvah. We should wipe out the Zayinum and so live in Eretz Yisrael. What's the purpose of Hachrim Tachrimim? You should wipe out the Zayinum and then move back to Borough Park, move back to Muncie. No, Hachrim Tachrim, we should wipe out the Zainumis in order that we should be able to live in Eretz Yisrael, and they shouldn't interfere with us. So the Rambam already counted Hachrim Tachrim, so he doesn't have to count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. He already counted the mitzvah once, Hachrim Tachrim, which is in order to lead up to the next step of we should live in Eretz Yisrael. And he gives several other mishalim where the Rambam didn't count certain mitzvahs, and the earlier commentaries explain because the Rambam counted a different mitzvah, this for the purpose leading up to that mitzvah. So you don't count the same mitzvah twice. And in effect, this would be considered counting the mitzvah twice. So there are really many different inyanim regarding Eretz Yisrael. Plays a central role in the Torah. Yiddishkeit can exist even in Chutz Lartz. No one's going to disagree. The Jews did very well in Europe. Even though they didn't go to Eretz Yisrael, there was a lot of Torah going on, a lot of wonderful things going on. But if you move to Eretz Yisrael, kuli am b'lo pli, of course there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Everybody agrees to that. Some people think that living in Eretz Yisrael is the most important mitzvah. So they don't care about chinuch habanim, they don't care about the husband's learning Torah. The main thing is only you have to live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's is what the dingzach. If the alternative is going to be you live in America and you have a good chinuch for your children, or your husband will have a whole system, he'll learn daf yomi, he'll learn in the chabur, going to move there, you'll have to work all day and all night and won't have any time to learn, and you won't have a good chinuch for your children, so it's better to stay in America. Better to stay in America. The Gemara says it's better to live in Eretz Yisrael in a near Shekula Nachrim rather than to live in America near Shekula Yisrael. It means better to live in Eretz Yisrael Nachrim, it's going to be uncomfortable. But if it's going to be an Eretz Yisrael Nachrim, you're going to have a problem with Chinuch Habanim, you're going to have a problem with learning Torah, so then it's better to stay in Chutz Lartz. Living in Eretz Yisrael adds a dimension that you won't have a Chutz Lartz. But if you're going to move to Eretz Yisrael, miss out on all the Shmiras and Mitzvahs. So that's ridiculous. It's just one of the mitzvahs of Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvahs Kol, but it does mean you trade in all the other mitzvahs. The reason why so many Gedolim, including Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, the reason why so many were opposed to the Zionist movement, because the original Zionists were anti-religious, and they wanted to establish a Medina to replace the religion. It wasn't a secret, they said so explicitly. We're going to have Eretz Yisrael, we don't need the whole religion then. So they wanted to be Oikem and Asherish, the whole Jewish religion. So that's why everybody was opposed. And maybe they were really right. Maybe they were really right. The mistake that they made was Min HaShemayim. Before the Holocaust, they should have realized that everyone should go to Eretz Yisrael. So it was Min HaShemayim that they shouldn't know that everyone should be killed. There was a big hester upon him. They didn't realize. But that Eretz Yisrael plays a major role in Halacha. There's less man the palik. Every other daf in the Gemara talks about Eretz Yisrael.
The mitzvah to set up a medina, is that specifically a medina run by halacha's rules or anything?
Yeah, it should be a Jewish medina run according to halacha, yeah. When Rav Velvela Soloveitchik passed away, so Rav Soloveitchik delivered a hesped here in the yeshiva, a very beautiful hesped. So part of the hesped was, they say that my uncle was anti-Zionist. So they say, I don't know if that's a correct description, because Rav Velvela Soloveitchik had a daughter who was married to Michal Feinstein. They were living in America. But Michal Feinstein, Rav Velvela's son-in-law, had the yeshiva b'shutfus with Rav Soloveitchik in Boston for a year and a half or so before Moshe Soloveitchik passed away. They used to go both give shiurim in the yeshiva. And then Rav Michal Feinstein moved to New York. He was a rebbe in Tiferes Yerushalayim, Rav Moshe Feinstein's yeshiva. He's related to Rav Moshe Feinstein. So Rav Velvela Soloveitchik told the children they have to move back to Eretz Yisrael If they don't come back to Eretz Yisrael soon, he's going to start. He won't talk to them. He won't answer their letters, and he won't answer the telephone. He won't talk to them. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, I would think that's a real Zionist. He said, he's not going to talk to the children if they don't move back to Eretz Yisrael. He said, but he says he understands his uncle was disappointed. His uncle came to Eretz Yisrael before Hakamas HaMedina, and then after the Medina was established, and it didn't correspond to what we were hoping and praying for all the years. We visualize Melech HaMashiach and a Jewish government, and the Rambam has Hilchos Malachim, a government running according to the Torah. So Rabbi Avila was disappointed that the Medina Yisrael didn't correspond to what it's supposed to be. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said he was disappointed. Okay, but it's not the anti-Zionist. You can't be anti-Zionist. So Rabbi Soloveitchik added on, and I think that the halacha will force itself on the Medina, and the Medina will have to turn into a religious Medina. Slowly, slowly, it's becoming much more religious than it used to be. The army is becoming much more religious, and the government is becoming much more. More and more religious people are taking over positions in the government. One of Netanyahu's daughters married a boy from a boy who learns, a Ben Torah who learns. More and more people are becoming religious in Eretz Yisrael, and many of the Chilonim are moving away from Eretz Yisrael. The religious people have to take over the government. They're taking over everything. Sometimes you go to an army base, and you go into the headquarters there with the officers. You have guys with tzitzes, with beards and pace. You think it's a coil base, maybe or something. There's a fellow who writes, he did your atlas. He writes for American magazines about the Israeli army every so often. So he says he once came into an army base, and he said the mazel was the chief officer was not there. So the second one who came in was a chiloni. He wasn't wearing a yarmulke. He said everybody else had a yarmulke with tzitzis. You would think it's a base medrash. So they wouldn't believe that that's the Jewish army. That's the Israeli army with tzitzis and beards and pates. The mazel was that the chief man wasn't wearing a yarmulke. Okay, so it looked like an army. But more and more, everything is being taken over by religious Jews in Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. And I think that the halacha has a way of forcing itself on the world, and the Medina is going to have to straighten up. It's taken a long time. Okay. They always used to complain against Ben-Gurion, did terrible things. They took religious children and they cut off their payas and they put them in kibbutzim where they didn't have kosher food, chil Shabbos and everything. They did terrible things. So this is what they complain about. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say in public at the Mizrahi conventions, and other Rabbanim said the same, he distinguishes between the Medina and the Memshalah. Memshalah means the people running the government. He says the Memshalah is run. But the Medina, what's treif about the Medina? Medina is, that's one of the dinim in the Torah. You have to establish a Medina. You have to have a Jewish government. Is anyone going to deny that it's a Jewish government? There were periods of time in Tanakh, in the days of the Tanakh, that the government in Eretz Yisrael forced people to worship Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says that was called Malchus Yisrael. That was a Jewish government because it was a Jewish Avodah Zarah. It wasn't a Goyish Avodah Zarah. That's what Yerushalmi says. He used to say, oh, that's a Jewish Avodah Zarah. Everybody knows that it's a Jewish government. That's why all the nations of the world are upset about the Eretz Yisrael, because they're all anti-Semitic. If it would be a Goyish government, so what are they all attacking it for? Obviously it's a Jewish government. Rav Soloveitchik once said in one of the drushes, he wonders, he thinks the United Nations only accomplish one thing. They recognize Medina Yisrael. Says they never accomplish anything else. At that time, he said, they never accomplish anything else. And maybe the whole United Nations was only founded in order to approve the Hakamas HaMedina. There's a lot to discuss. And after the Medina was established, the learning picked up all over the world. People used to be embarrassed after the Second World War. People were embarrassed to identify themselves as Jews. People are afraid to be mauled their children. Because sometimes the Nazis only could identify you as a Jew by seeing that you had a bris milah. So many Jews who were embarrassed, they were afraid to do a bris milah. They were embarrassed to identify themselves as Jews. And now the Jewish people has more pride, and that's important. Gavosim shal Yisrael. The Gemara says Gavosim shal Yisrael is an important thing. We take pride in the fact that we have a Medina and Eretz Yisrael, and there's more Torah learning all over the world. People send their children to Eretz Yisrael. They learn for a year or two or three, then they come back and they make the parents more observant. They have an influence on all the people in their community, all the people in the shul. The whole atzlocha of the yeshiva, when I was a Talmud in the yeshiva, was after Hakamas HaMedina, it was after 1948, but there was hardly anybody learning in the Beis Medrash. People would sleep in the morning in the dormitories, then at night Seder, there was no night Seder. Two or three people at 10 o'clock, it was time for Ma'ariv. Usually had to wait 5-10 minutes till the minyan came along. There wasn't a minyan every night at 10 o'clock. And now, because the people went to Eretz Yisrael, we have a whole system. Everybody goes to Eretz Yisrael to learn for a year or two or three. So now the learning picked up all over the world. Nishmiras HaMitzvos all over the world. You have to celebrate just for that. There was a new Kabbalah Satorah. You have to come something. There's another Kabbalah Satorah that has had a wonderful effect on the Jews all over the world.
And what about mitzvahs but she is that's tolerant and that most of that Muslim Jews in Israel?
Yovel, the Gemara says, the Pasuk says in Parshas Behar. That's the Pasuk on the Liberty Bell. Across from Dra Baritz L'cho Yashvel, thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. The Liberty Bell was commissioned by the Jewish community of Pennsylvania. I'm from Pennsylvania. So we commissioned the making of the Liberty Bell, and we chose that Pasuk. And then the colonies decided to accept it as the symbol of all the 13 colonies. So the Gemara says that Pasuk means L'cho Yashvel b'zman shekol Yashvel aleh. Yovel is only applicable when you have Kol Yashvel Aleh. Then there's a Machlokes Hatanah, and what about Shemitah? So we pass on the Shemitah B'zman HaZez D'Rabbanan. Most of the Poskim hold Shemitah B'zman HaZez D'Rabbanan, because it's only Shemitah D'Rais if you know in advance that it can lead up to a Yovel. If you don't have Kol Yashvel Aleh, then not. So the full Kedusha Eretz Yisrael is not there. It's incomplete because you don't have Kol Yashvel Aleh. The question is, even if you're going to have 51% of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael, on the end of Erechin, where they have this din, sounds like it still won't be Kol Yashvel Aleh. Kol Yashvel Aleh means you have Shevet Reuven is living where they belong, Shevet Shimon, Shevet Yehuda, Shevet Yisachar. You know who belongs to which Shevet? And each Shevet, all the Shvatim are living separately. So that we don't have, we don't know who belongs to which Shevet. The Pesukim say that when Mashiach will come, Eliyahu Navi will identify who everybody is. He'll tell everybody what Shevet he belongs to. And then it'll be Kol Yashvel Aleh. You'll know who belongs to what Shevet.
Don't we assume for the most part that everyone was on the desk with Shevet Yehuda? Yemen's numbers were very small. The rest were
I mean, the Raiva from Yehuda, right? That was we called Yehudim because most of us come from Shevet Yehuda. But there are representatives from all the Shvatim, the whole Bai Sheni pair. There were people from the other Shvatim also. And the Kol Yashvel Aleh, the Gemara says in the end of Erechim, means you know, everybody knows what Shevet they're from, and each Shevet lives in a different location. That's what it sounds like in the Gemara.
Why can't I also say that? Shimon already said it's also the Rabbanon.
The Gemara says in different places that Truma Bizman is Ed the Rabbanon. So Rashi says, why is Truma Bizman is Ed the Rabbanon? Because Botloch Kedusha Soaret. So Rashi, in a few places, sounds like he's interpreting the Gemara to say that the Kedusha Shnia was Botloch, that the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael disappeared, vanished into thin air at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. There's no more Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam assumes not so. Most of the Rishonim assume that Loi Botloch Kedusha Soaret, that the Kedusha Shnia was Kitcha Losi Lovai. So what he did with the Gemara that says Truma Bizman Hazeh is the Rabbanon. So the Rambam says Trumas Bamaisis Bizman Hazeh Afila Bimei Ezra is the Rabbanon. So he says why? Because you don't have Kol Yashvehu Aleho. You don't have. He says because you need Bias Kulchem. That's the Loshon Rambam is difficult. Bias Kulchem is a pasuk regarding Challah. The Gemara says in Ksubas Daf Chafei Manalaf Bias Kulchem Vaya Bevayachem Al Horas. Bias Kulchem is only a din in Challah, not a din in Trumas Bamaisis. So the Rambam, as it stands, is a Pella. He says that you need Bias Kulchem for Trumas HaMaisos. That's against the Gemara. So the Beis Halevi has a Tshuva where he quotes my son, the Rosh Yeshiva, from Valozhin, his son Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who interpreted the Rambam. He said that in order to be Mafresh Trumas HaMaisos, you have to know what year of the Shemitah cycle you're holding by. The first 2 years in Mafresh Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. The third year in Mafresh Maaser Rishon, Maaser Oni. 40 and the 50 years are repeat of the first 2 years, and the 60 years are repeat of the third year. And you can't be mafrish mishon al chavata even if the 2 years are exactly the same. It says, Aset hasas kol tvaz arecha Ayotzi Asoda Shona Shona. So the Gemara learns that from that pasuk in Parshas Re'eh that you have to be mafrish each year on its own. How do you know what year you belong to? So you have to know when Shemitah is, and according to which year of the Shemitah cycle it is, that's how you determine what you're mafrish that year. So Rab Chaim says, if Bizmanazeh, Yovel doesn't exist because they don't have Kol Yashveh Haleo. We pask like Rebbe, that if you know in advance that the Shemitah is not going to lead up to Yovel, the whole observance of the Shemitah is only the Rabbanon. So there's no Shemitah, there's no Trumas HaMaisras. When you say, according to the Rambam, that the Kedusha Sa'aretz is the Raisa, what's the halachic significance for the Kedusha Sa'aretz being the Raisa? Not Trumas HaMaisras, the halachic significance is Leket Shikro Peil. That'll be the Raisa. But the Trumas HaMaisras will only be the Rabbanon, because in order to determine that what you're mafrish, you have to know what year of the Shemitah cycle you're holding by. So if you hold that Shemitah only exists if it can lead up to Yovel, and there's no Kol Yashveh Leo, so there's no Shemitah, there's no Yovel, and there's no Trumas HaMaisras.
So with the Rambam said that Trumas Talayan, and that there also needs to be Mischalek Tishvatim?
Yeah, Truma, they only became Mechuyev when Eretzal was in Schalka L'Shvatim, yeah. L'Shvatim and L'Mishpachas and L'Yechidim, he had to have a full Chaluka, yeah. The Mekadosh of Eretzal the first time was the Kibush, and the Gemar HaKibush was the Chaluka. And they did the complete Chaluka, that was the Gemar of the Kibush, yeah.
Why should it matter if you don't, just because you don't have Shemitah, that means that you don't have the Chiyuv of Shana Shemitah. That doesn't mean the years don't exist, you still know what year.
You need some official body counting the years to say what year you're holding by. So if you don't count the lead up to Yovel, then you don't count the lead up to Shemitah. If no one's counting, so there's no count. So you don't know what year it is for Trumas and Mises purposes either. That's why we assume there is no Hakel Bismanazeh. Hakel Deraisa is the Sukkis, Chalamat Sukkis, following Shnas HaShemitah. There's no Shemitah Deraisa today, so there's no Hakel. Not just that you don't have to observe the mitzvahs of Shemitah. There is no Shemitah. No one's counting. Al pi halacha, no one's counting. So there's no Shemitah.
Why is Truma following on the year cycle?
Yeah, because you can't be mafresh mishon al chavata. I say, tasis kol tua zarecha. Even though all the 6 years you mafresh the same Truma in the Maaseh Rishon, but still you can't be mafresh mishon al chavata. So in order to know if you're mechuyev in Trumas and Maaseh, you have to know what year of the Shemitah cycle are you holding by. So if there's no Shemitah cycle, because you know it's not going to lead up to Yovel, so in the Mele there's no Trumas and Maaseh. That's what the Beis Halevi quotes from his son, Rab Chaim, the Rosh Yeshiva of Elozhin. That was his pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam, as we have, it doesn't say that. The Rambam in our edition says that in order to be chayev in Trumas and Maaseh, you have to have Bias Kulchem. Bias Kulchem, that's against the Gemara. Bias Kulchem only says by Chala, doesn't say by Trumas and Maaseh. The Gemara said Beferish. So Rav Chaim suggested that it must be a misprint in the Rambam. It shouldn't say Bias Kulchem. Should have said that you need Kol Yashveh Aleho. So there's no Yovel. So there's no Yovel, there's no Shemitah. There's no Shemitah, there's no Trumas and Maaseh.
Rashi Subas
says,
okay.
Very good. Rav Chaim
quotes the Rashi.
Very good. Rashi is better than Rav Chaim. Okay. So where do we leave off? We left off the end of the Perek. Amem Zayin on the base. A little bit Masech HaShabbos. Yes. What's the last Mishnah? Nosim Kli Tachas Aneh L'Kabel Nitzotzos. The Balabas, the benches licht, and sparks from the candle are falling on the tablecloth. The tablecloth doesn't catch flame. So she's afraid. So she puts a plate there so that the nitzotzas will fall on the plate. So the Gemara asks, isn't this a violation of Mevatel Kli Mehei Chonoi? Because the nitzotzas are muktzeh, and if you put the tray on the bottom, the tray should become a basis of davar haaser. So the Gemara says, no, the nitzotzas are ein ben mamish. Mevatel Kli Mehei Chonoi only applies if you're putting, let's say, a sal tachas ha'efreichim. Put a basket that the chicks should be able to jump up. They can't jump so high. So you put a basket that should serve as a ladder that the chicks should jump on. So the chicks are going to be there for a while. So then it's Mevatel Kli Mehei Chonoi. He made it into a basis davar haaser for a few moments. But over here, it's just instantaneously. The nitzetzes go out right away as soon as they hit the tray. So the tray never became a basis davaros. Easy enough. Then the Mishnah says, "V'litan l'tocha mayim mipnei shehu mechaber." The Gemara explains that's not even permissible on Erev Shabbos. Not only on Shabbos, even on Erev Shabbos also not. So the Gemara says, "What's wrong? Why is it also?" And the Gemara, "Mnei shemikarves kibuyo." What do you mean mikarves kibuyo? But he did it on Erev Shabbos. What could be wrong over here? So the long Tosis explains, "Mnei shemikarves kibuyo." The Tosis explains, if we'll allow it on Erev Shabbos, we're afraid the person may do it on Shabbos. And what will be the tragedy if he does it on Shabbos? It'll be mikarves kibuya. What does that mean? He may pick up a tray with water from the sink and put the tray over here. And as he's bringing the tray, a spark will fly out from the candle. And if he wouldn't have brought the tray, the spark would still continue to sparkle until it lands on the tablecloth. Then it would go out because he brought the tray over here with the water, so he caused it to go out slightly earlier. Mikarves kibuya. So even though the malacha ben kovaka is going to occur, but it's going to occur a second or two later, and he causes the malacha to occur earlier. So that's also, we have the kruve bishul we mentioned. The Gemara says in Zvachim, in the end of Zvachim, the Gemara has that on Shabbos there's a prohibition of kruve bishul. If you have a steak on a broiler and you leave it the way it is, it'll complete the cooking in 25 minutes, and if you turn it over to the other side, then it'll complete cooking faster. So then the Gemara says, if you turn it over and it gets completed, the cooking gets completed earlier, mikarves ikruvi bishul is a malacha derais. Is here also, mikarves andi kibuy is also a malacha derais. That's a Tosis and Tirpitz.
Where did he put the water? We're afraid he's taking it.
He's going to take a bowl of water from the sink, and here's the candle that's burning. He's going to put it over here. And as he's bringing it, we make exactly not even allowed to leave it on Erev Shabbos, because he may do it on Shabbos, and what will happen if he does it on Shabbos? He may bring it exactly at the time that a spark is flying down, and the spark would have taken another second to land on the tablecloth and to go out, and because he brought the tray with the water, it goes out a second earlier.
Why do we have to do that? He puts the water under the candle. It's also going to go out earlier, because it's going to hit the water before it would have hit the table. Why do we have to go that far?
What's the gzeira? Why don't we allow him to leave the bowl of water on Erev Shabbos?
Well, leave it. So because he might put it there on Shabbos.
Because he might put it, and what's the tragedy? He puts it on Shabbos.
It'll go out earlier.
It'll go out earlier, exactly.
But I'm putting it, without coming over, just putting it there is going to make it go out earlier. It was just significant. In other words, you'll put it there and it'll go out earlier because it's going to hit the water.
Hit the water, okay. Also, same thing. Also the same thing. Then Tosis distinguishes, if you put water on the bottom, if you have a cup of oil, and you put water on the bottom in order the oil floats to the top. So you don't want to have a full cup of oil that's going to burn for 20 hours. The balabas doesn't need candles that can burn. She doesn't need oil burning for 20 hours. She just wants 4 or 5 hours. It should go out at 1 o'clock at night. So she fills a half a cup of oil. So it looks funny, half a cup of oil on the bottom. So she fills up 3/4 of the cup with water and the top 1/4 of the cup with oil. So the wick is on top. The wick is sticking out on top instead of being lowered down. It looks nicer. So if the motivation for putting in the water in the bottom of the cup is not because you want to extinguish the wick when all the oil is used up, but rather l'hagdiya es hashemen, then Tosis says, Lo Shaykh Lemigza. Then they never made Gzera Derabon. So that line of Tosis is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. What does the Tosis quote from the Yerushalmi? That there is a suggestion in the Yerushalmi, the first wide line in the Tosis, Nation Mikarves Kibuy. So they quote, the Yerushalmi, Mukim Asis and Kereb Yosi, there's Machlegis HaTanayim later, where the Gram Kibuy is also a Mutam. So that's the Shaila. If I bring the water on Shabbos, if I bring the water on Shabbos and put it down, and then later on the spark will fly and the kibbutz will occur faster than otherwise, like this, the kibbutz would occur when the spark would hit the tablecloth. Now that I move the bowl of water there, so the spark will go out slightly earlier, but it's not happening while I do the ma'isa. I bring the water and I walk away. So the Yerushalmi says that should depend on the machlekes of Yosi and the Chachamim on Daf Kufchav. About the Gram Kibbutz, but the Gram Kibbutz is also mutter. The simple reading of the Tosfos, the Chazon Ish points, the simple reading of the Tosfos is that according to the Chachamim, the Rabbi Yossi, Ram Kiba is Muta Heta Gomer, not only B'Mokam D'Leika. The Ramah and Shulchan Aruch quoted in the Mordechai, who disagrees with this Tosfos. Mordechai holds that Ram Kiba is only Mutar, B'Mokam D'Leika means it's Muta Min HaTorah Min D'Rabbanan, they asked the Gram Malacha, and B'Mokam D'Leika, B'Mokam Hefsid Meruba, they were Mekam. But the Tosfos seems not to hold like that. That's why the Tosfos in Beitza talks about Gram Kiba being Mutar on Yontif. So Achreinim are bothered with the kasha, but the Ramah says that Gam Kiba is also on Shabbos. Hakam Tosfos says Mutar on Yontif. So the Chazon Ish points out the simple teretz is that Tosfos is Lushita, Tosfos in Beitza is Lushitosim over here. The whole Gam Kiba is at the Gom. The one who holds that Gam Kiba is also Mirabonim is the Mordechai, but not Tosfos. So there is no steer in Tosfos. But somehow the earlier, some of the early Achreinim didn't realize that. So they thought that Tosfos meant to distinguish between Shabbos and Yontif. The Gram Kiba, the Asid, but the Rabbanan on Shabbos. That's the Mordechai. They're Asid Gram Kiba on Shabbos, unless B'mokam D'Leika, B'mokam Hefsid Meruba. And on Yontif, Tosfos says they were never goyim. And the Chazon Ish is not happy with that. He thinks that according to the Tosfos, Gram Kiba is Muta Beim Shabbos Beim Yontif Afilim in the Rabbanan. And according to the Ramah, quoted in the Mordechai, Gram Kiba should be Asim in the Rabbanan Beim Shabbos Beim Yontif, only Muta B'mokam D'Leika. Okay. Maybe Bulineta tomorrow again. So tomorrow, whoever's interested, I'm going to give a shiur at 9:40. They have the signs up all over. I'm going to talk about Kedusha Soros, about going on Har Bais. Okay, it'll be the rest of the shiur that I didn't say today.
And if
the Suda finishes before 1:30, so then we'll try to gather to learn a little more Gemara. Okay, and then the Bechina, then the final is on Wednesday morning. I'm going to be going out of town on Wednesday afternoon, so I won't be here till next week. But next week, Belinet, I plan to give shiurim on miscellaneous topics on Monday, Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, I don't know.